Welcome to the Cosmic Collective podcast. I'm your host and psychic medium, Mads, and in this podcast, I'll be teaching you everything you need to know about your incarnation here on Earth. We are going to talk about all things finding your soul purpose, manifestation, quantum physics, and of course, reprogramming your subconscious mind so that you can live the life of your dreams. We'll be here every Monday, so turn your volume up and get ready for the transformation of a lifetime. Welcome to the collective. Hello, hello. Welcome back to the podcast. I am really excited for today's episode. This is something that I have wanted to record. It's topics that I really like discussing, you know, with people, like some of my colleagues and some of my friends. Like, we come across some of these theories and I see some of them online and I'm like, oh, I want to talk about that. So today we are kind of going through spiritual myths, but not myths of like manifestation and certain like subjective beliefs, I guess. We're going into this with cultural mythology and maybe how all of that relates to some higher cosmic, macrocosmic truths about our existence and our experience here in the human physical world. So we're going to talk about, I think, a handful of them, and I am going to do my best to tell you like what I have objectively received in my channel about certain things, and then I'll also distinguish what is my personal opinion. And in case that's not clear, like something that is objective that I have received in my channel is like an objective truth that comes from the universe, the higher dimension, spirit, and something that's my opinion is how I personally, in my human experience, view something and whether I choose to believe it or not, regardless of what the divine has told me. Now, more often than not, I do believe the objective truths that come through my channel because, well, they're objective truths and I'm a truth seeker and I'm a truth teller. So I like to, you know, it just feels good for me that way. It resonates. But then there are certain things where I just have certain beliefs and sometimes I evolve out of those beliefs and sometimes I remain with them. More often than not, I'll evolve and kind of look at technicalities and things like that. But there's certain things that I'm going to go into in this podcast. So I'll make sure to, you know, differentiate between the two. As usual, you believe what you want to believe. I'm not here to tell you what to believe. I just thought this would be a fun, lighthearted topic of conversation. So one of the first myths that I know has some backing to it, and I'll kind of get into my own experiences with it and what I know of others, is in Japanese culture and Japanese spirituality, there is a theory that they believe that we wear the face of the person we most loved in our past life. So essentially, what you look like today in this lifetime is actually the face of the person you loved the most in your most recent past life. So this could have been a soulmate that you incarnated with in several lifetimes or one that you find in every life. It could be a sibling. It could be a friend. It could be a lover that you never got to connect with, but someone that you just heart space loved the fuck out of in your past life. And I feel like this will definitely be subjective for a lot of reasons, like whether you actually look like this person or not, or whether this is something that you choose to do because of a few things. One, the way a soul chooses to look in an incarnation is incredibly detailed and has everything to do with what their purpose is in life and how they want to present, how they want to be seen, what they want people's perception of them to be, and what they're working through in terms of internal and external life and karmic lessons. So it's possible that in one lifetime, a soul says, yeah, I'm going to wear the face of my past lover. And then in the next lifetime, be like, no, I want something unique into myself. This is not like a definite thing that is happening, but I do know that to some degree, it is for a lot of souls. It's not 100% though. So just like, again, take it as you will. Now, one thing I will say is I know for me personally, when I incarnate in the human form, I have worn a lot of similar features in my lifetimes. My eyes have remained the same in every single lifetime. I incarnate with the same eyes every single time. And this is something that is really important for me as a soul. It's something that I intentionally do and plan and design pre-incarnation because I want to be recognizable to the souls that I have previously incarnated with. So my soul family, my soulmates, the people that I'm here to connect with, and knowing that there's going to be a lot of soul amnesia that we both experience while we're incarnated, and also that eyes are the window to the soul. I like to have the same eyes because I feel like it makes them, it gives them an easier time to recognize me and see me. And to be quite truthful with you, my eyes are my like favorite part about me. Like I feel like they accurately do depict my soul energy. Like I said, the eyes are the window to the soul. So that is something that I've done in every lifetime. Now, if you know anything about my past lives, you've been listening to this podcast for a really long time and you were around this time last year where I spoke about some of my past lives, you'll know that in my most recent past life, I was like a 6'2" man. And obviously I don't look the same, but I do remember what my wife looked like in that lifetime. Not all of her features, but I know that I adopted some of them, most specifically brown hair. And I have not incarnated very much with darker features. My eyes have always remained, like I have like hazel brown eyes that has always remained. But and this is why I always dye my hair blonde. I am like a blonde through and through and through. And if you look at my roots, I'm definitely not. But I fell in love with a brunette in my past life. And she was the most, beautiful soul and beautiful human that I had ever met. And you know, the reality is we incarnate frequently together, that soul and I, and it's so lovely. And I was a man, she was a woman. And that's not the case in every lifetime. You know, I'm a woman now, so but she had brown hair. And I think that was a really big, I know that was a really big factor in me choosing that in this lifetime because there are blonde genetics on my biological mother's side. So it would have been very easy for me to incarnate with blonde hair. But I chose not to because that was kind of like a little ode to that relationship that I had. So that's my experience with it. I also have typically like similar facial features and like body structure. My body has pretty well, no matter like what gender I'm in, I tend to have a pretty like narrow frame, rectangular. When I'm a woman, I'm like a really short petite woman. And when I'm a man, I'm a very tall man. I haven't really experimented too much with like different sizing, if that makes sense. And I feel like that's something that I have done just kind of like biomechanically because I'm so used to it. And there are other things that I need to adjust to density wise on the planet that it just makes it easier for me to be in a very similar body every time, if that makes sense. So that is myth number one. Now, the second myth, and this is something that I heard, and I have a couple of theories, and I also wholeheartedly, in my opinion, believe this. Now, there are spiritualists and philosophers who theorize that the fantasy worlds we create as authors and producers are actually channeled insights from other worlds. And I'm going to explain why I believe this objectively and also why I believe it as an opinion on a personal level. On the objective level, I have seen in different fantasy literature, i.e. Harry Potter, as well as a lot of Sarah J. Maas's books, there are actually elements and like an alarming amount of elements of those stories that actually are objective, multidimensional truths. For example, there's a lot of symbology or symbolism in, I think it's Harry Potter 3, where they have a spinal, like it's a candle that is like the spinal column, it's the vertebrae of the spinal column, and there's a flame at the top, and that depicts Kundalini energy. There's also in Harry Potter this, you know, the good versus the bad, and the bad trying to take over everything and control people through means of fear. And I mean, that tracks on some level. And then in Sarah J. Maas's books, there's actually like, I should have taken better notes when I was reading everything, but in all of her books, there are, for example, in Crescent City, and okay, this is a spoiler alert. Heads up, if you haven't finished ACOTAR and you haven't finished Crescent City, like any of the books, skip forward 30 seconds. It's a huge spoiler. Okay, hopefully by now they've skipped over. There's talk about like multidimensional overlap, how all of the worlds kind of overlap each other, which actually has to do with the fact that we are multidimensional beings. And that is literally how the dimensions work. That is literally how the quantum field works. It talks about like mind reading, which we know about with telepathy, and that's how souls communicate. It's how mediums receive their information through a form of telepathy. And telepathy is actually something that humans can have with each other, but not in the ways that you expect telepathy to go. We should do a conversation on that. We should have a conversation on that. And that is something that is there as well. There's also a lot of talks and themes and topics in her books that have a lot to do with different kinds of kind of like manipulation tactics, and how the Asteri have blown up other worlds, and they just keep trying to steal from the worlds that they conquer. And that actually has a lot to do, if you know about what happened to the planet Nibiru, if you know what happened to Mars, if you know what has happened in Orion's belt, what happened to Lyra, what happened to what's the other one, Mintaka, that like those are planets in our actual galaxy that has actually happened to. And I just, that's why on like an objective level, even if the actual stories of the characters are not happening in other worlds, there are fundamental themes that track on what is actually happening macrocosmically in what we would consider like our real life world. Now, personally, this is where my opinion comes in. So what I just shared with you is like objective, like there are themes that track. Now, my personal opinion is that I love to read. I read fiction. I read all kinds of fiction. I read primarily fantasy fiction. And there are the way, how do I explain this? The way this information of these stories is laid out. And Sarah J. Maas recently said this in an interview where she'll want to take a character's story somewhere, and then she'll realize that it's not right, and she like has to write like what she's receiving. And I have goosebumps. Holy fuck, I have goosebumps. Maybe it is real. Goosebumps. And whenever I heard that in her interview, I was like, you know, I sincerely believe it's because you're channeling someone else's story. Like you're channeling someone's experience, another soul or another being's experience, that if you're not writing it the wrong way, you're going to feel like or if you're writing it the wrong way, you're not writing it the right way of how it actually went down and what actually happened, you're going to feel compelled to depict it in the way that it actually happened. Because when you're channeling things, when you're channeling information, you have to say it like it is. You have to share it like it is. That's what it means to be a medium. And a lot of authors don't realize that they are mediums. They are taking these ideas and they are translating them for humans in this plane to experience and have fun with. And so my personal belief, especially because how I'm specifically noting Sarah J. Maas, because the way that I still think about these characters and feel like their lives are continuing despite these books, well, I guess the books aren't really over except for Throne of Glass, which I think is having a comeback. I'm not even kidding you. I feel like that's not over. I honestly, like, I would not be surprised if I crossed over to the other side 100 years from now and found out, like, oh, that was a story she channeled from this planet, and this was a story she channeled from this planet. Like, I would not be surprised. And if that's not the case, and these are just ideas and experiences that her soul wants to like make up and then pull in these very true, objective, multidimensional topics and themes, and she's kind of like weaving the two together, then I'm not gonna lie, I'm gonna be a little sad that Aelin and Rowan are not real souls somewhere out in this multiverse. I think I'm gonna be a little bit bummed about it, which is why, for my own human experience, I refuse to go up into my channel and find out while I'm alive in this human experience on if the actual fictional quote fictional maybe, characters are channeled or not, because I don't want to know, because I am very happy living in my DeLulu perception that they are real, they exist on another planet, and those things are still, like, that's my opinion of it. So that, I'd be so curious to see if any other, like, spiritual fantasy fiction readers also believe that. And I feel like, even if not, and this is something that I also have kind of come to understand, is that these the places we make up in our imagination do exist in the astral realm, which is why people have also recounted saying they went into their dream space and they were like at Hogwarts, or they went into a meditation and they were at Hogwarts, because they do exist on some plane. The astral plane is the dream space, and a lot of things, anything can kind of exist there, basically, including your imagination. That's the fourth dimensional piece of you and you, your being as a human. And so your consciousness in the fourth dimension can kind of create like a parallel reality to temporarily experience when meditating or when sleeping. And I feel like because so many of these these made up quote places exist across our collective subconscious, they are accessible in the astral realm because so many of us have the same description of what they would look like based on the literature that we read and the movies that we consume and the media that we take part in. And so collectively we create a space for that in the astral realm. That I know to some degree is true. My point in wondering if it actually comes from other worlds would be to take it beyond the fourth dimension, beyond the astral realm, and it literally happening, like it literally being a story of beings and a family that exists on another planet or maybe in another galaxy. Why am I seeing 111 right now? See, I don't want to know the answer to any of this. Like, and this is the thing. I think it's important for me, and I have this drive to understand and need to share the objective truths. But certain things like this, like, I think I'm really attached to Aelin and Rowan. I'm really not going to lie to you. And I think it would break a part of my human heart to know that they are truly just fictional characters, because that story, like, why am I getting tears in my eyes? That's so hilarious. But that story, Aelin's story, fundamentally changed me in a way that, like, I have never related to a character more. And I don't know that I ever will. And now I'm sitting here being like, man, I've got like 5 hours left of work and a few more podcast recordings. But now all I want to do is go and read Crescent City, because I'm on that book right now. I'm on Crescent City 3, but not the point. I digress. So, you know, when it comes to subjective menial things that aren't going to change the way that you or I operate through life on like a fundamental consciousness, self-evolutionary level and perspective, I don't really care to find out. That makes up for about 0.01% of the information that I care to seek about. So everything else, you know, when it comes to dimensions, consciousness, and universal laws, and karma, and soul contracts, and interpersonal dynamics, and literally everything else that I teach, it is so important for me to go and find those truths. And I'll go in my channel, and I will spend lots of time exploring and pulling information and receiving insights from my guides and just from, you know, my soul memories as a whole and from the universe to share that with you, because it's necessary for this world to have that information. But I don't think your or my life, well, my life would change if I knew that Aelin and Rowan weren't real, but that doesn't affect you in any way, and the greatness that you can tap into and the power that you need to step into as a human being, as a soul in this human experience. So I hope you understand why I don't want to go and find that out. And I don't even want to hear what your perspective is on it, because if you tell me, you know, that I'm a little cuckoo for thinking Aelin and Rowan are real, I'll probably block you. No, I'm just kidding. But I just, like, let my inner child have that is basically what I'm saying. So that's the second theory that I want to talk about today. The third theory that I want to talk about today is the personification of planets, as most commonly seen in different mythologies like Greek mythology, Roman mythology. There are several other mythologies that I am not well versed on, but Basically, planets are cosmic bodies and they have their own consciousness. Gaia, our planet, which is planet Earth, her name is Gaia, has her own consciousness. Every planet has their own consciousness, just as you as a human being have consciousness. It has a planetary or cosmic consciousness. And it is an archetype. That planet, that cosmic consciousness, that cosmic body has its own energetic archetype of what it represents. And that is actually how we end up being able to interpret that energy through astrology. For example, Venus is all about love, finances, sensuality, and beauty. And who was the physical embodiment of that energy? Aphrodite, right? That must make sense for a lot of you. Now, my understanding of this is that obviously these planets did not incarnate into human bodies. The souls who once existed or even still do exist on that planet came and had a human experience, right? This brings in the starseed perspective on the planet. It's not that these planets were once human beings and then became planets. That's not the case at all. That is like a, that just wouldn't even work on a quantum mechanic level. That it's not possible. But the beings of a particular planet can incarnate anywhere, right? And we've talked about this with the Earth training schools and oh my goodness, the stuttering today. It's kind of hilarious. The preparation you took as a soul to come to Earth, even you incarnated on several other planets. Your first incarnation happened on a planet, you know, fucking forever ago. So that's what that is. Aphrodite would have been a soul who came from the planet Venus, or even like, what's the other planet that so what I'm receiving in objectively here in my channel is, yes, Venusian origin. But there's also another planet that is quite feminine. Is it Vega? Have I talked about this before? I feel like I've talked about this before. I feel like it's Vega. And then there are other embodiments. Like, for example, Mars is all about action, sex drive, motivation, war. And who was the physical embodiment of Mars energy? Aries, right? So we can see how all of this kind of comes together. Zeus was the physical embodiment of Jupiter, large, in charge, powerful, expansive, and just like really big energy from him, right? And I think that that's like the really key thing to understand is that mythologies do hold a lot of objective macrocosmic truths. However, the way that we perceive them, the human mind tends to put a human experience onto those mythologies, trying to understand it. For example, when the Mayan calendar said on December 21st, 2012, the world was going to end, and it did, people assumed that meant like our planet was going to die and that the human experience would come to an end. That's not what they meant. They meant that there would be an energetic shift where the cosmic body, the planet, would shift out of the third dimension and into the fourth dimension to begin its ascent into its new processional age, which is the age of Aquarius, a 2000 year age. So, you know, the human mind, because it cannot conceptualize, it's getting better at it now, but because the human mind has not been primed to understand such expansive concepts, it puts things into a very narrow framework, right? And that's where kind of like these misconceptions can come about. It's kind of like the concept of infinity. I've talked about this with a couple of my friends and we both like get to a point in the conversation where we're like, hey, like we need to stop because like it's fucking my head up a little bit. But I'll talk about it here too. It's the concept of infinity and eternity of like, I remember a couple of months ago last year, I was talking to my higher self and I was like, and if you don't know, I've been working for a very long time. So even as a soul on the other side, like I've been working a lot for a very long time. I haven't had any, honestly. I had one leisurely incarnation an extremely long time ago. And everything since then has been for work, for things that I as a soul feel are important to kind of get done in this sector of the galaxy. And obviously clearly here on Earth, which is why I'm here. Say that with a little more enthusiasm, Mads. Come on now. Happy to be here, truthfully. But, and I seriously mean that because, you know, there's so much work that needs to be done. But, you know, I was contemplating with my higher self one day and I was like, you're just telling me it never ends. Like, That's it. Like, I go back to the other side. I still exist continuously, on and on, forever and ever and ever. And now, in a way, that's a really cool thing. In a work way, it's like a holy fuck. Does it ever end? And like, I mean, listen, that doesn't mean that I have to work for all of eternity. And quite frankly, I'm going into retirement for a little bit after this incarnation. That's already been pre-planned on my end. And I cannot even explain to you how excited my soul is to just take a little bit of a step back. Knowing me, it won't be for very long. But I'm going to go into a few more leisurely experiences and just kind of take some rest after this incarnation. And I'm very excited about it. But even at that, like it's like thinking of like existing like 1 billion years from now. Could you imagine? Like that's kind of like, if this is going to trip you out, just like skip past maybe like a minute and a half. But can you imagine, like, let's say you lived in this body for 1 billion years, like in perfect health. Like, can you just imagine like what you would experience in 1 billion years, right? That's what it feels like for me and for a lot of souls who are in this human experience and have a pretty strong retention of their soul consciousness, right? When you remember who you are as a soul and you wake up every day and you're like, all right, here we go again, you know, doing my work, I'm here, I'm showing up, I'm in my mission. This consciousness, like when I exit this physical body, nothing is going to change for me other than the fact that I have left this physical body. As where for souls who maybe don't go through this remembrance process in this physical incarnation, when they get to the other side, when they transition out of their physical body, it's like having the awakening, but on the other side of being like, holy crap, how did I forget all that? That was so fucking epic, right? As where this time around, and even the last couple of lifetimes I had, it's really just like a smooth transition. And it's kind of just like life continues, life goes on. There's not like a clear divider. I mean, there is, because I'm not on earth and I'm not in a physical body. But like on a conscious awareness level, there's not a clear divider of like, that was this and this is now. And it just kind of goes on. And then that goes on for eternity. And that is just like the wildest concept for my human brain. And the way that my higher self kind of said it to me, she's like, you get used to it. She's like, that is not even like a thought up here, because it just is. That is just reality. That is just how these things kind of go. And I was like, yeah, I mean, I guess that makes sense. And then my higher self was basically like, you really don't even need to be thinking about this right now. Like, you can drop this topic of conversation. You can let it go. And I was like, okay, I'm not going to contemplate that right now. I feel like there are better things and more productive things that I could contemplate on for my work and my mission here now. But my point in kind of bringing in that example to some of these mythologies that we like to kind of put a human spin on is that our human brains cannot conceptualize the vastness and all of the intricacies of the multidimensional universal experience that souls are existing within all the time, eternally, forevermore. So whenever you're hearing different mythologies and you're hearing things, you know, just remember that we're as best as we can, you know, our brains will try to understand the concept and go really expansive with it. But sometimes it's just like, you know, you take a human perspective on things. So anyways, this is a bit of a shorter episode and really more for fun, really just to kind of pique your interest on some of these things. Maybe you've thought about these things, maybe you haven't. Maybe you also believe that Aelin and Rowan are living somewhere else in another universe, on another planet, still existing with their beautiful children in Terrasen. And maybe you think that that's a bunch of bullshit and you don't agree, and that's fine. It is what it is. That's the joy of having different opinions. But nonetheless, a lot of fantasy books and just a lot of books in general, but specifically fantasy, have a lot of larger macrocosmic truths woven into them, even if the author is not consciously aware, which I think is a really cool thing. So anyways, I hope you enjoyed this fun little impromptu episode. And as usual, go be your divine self this week. You got this. I love you. And I will see you in the next one.